Hi, everyone, and welcome to English for You. I'm Joe.
And I'm Mike.
Now, today we're on our third and final day.
Yes.
All about White Fang.
He's got very clean teeth.
Yeah, he's got real nice teeth
White Fang.
On him. That's why they called him White Fang.
That's
actually,
right.
We found out yesterday why he was called White Fang. It was because when he actually went to the village, where it turns out that his mother had lived before, he bared his teeth. And they said, man, he's got some nice white teeth on him.
There you go,
Let's call him White Fang. Now, we were learning all about his life in the village. He was fearful at first. And then he and his mother were tied up. Some of the local dogs came around to kind of mess with them, to attack them. But the people shooed them away. So perhaps then they were thinking, maybe people aren't so bad. But now we're going to find out what happens more when White Fang lives in the human world and he learns more about human nature and nature itself. So let's go ahead and read through the article, and Mike and I will be back.
Reading. White Fang. When White Fang is 5 years old, Gray Beaver takes him to sell his goods. White Fang has become protective of his master and fights many dogs that try to approach Gray Beaver along the way. At a fort, a man named Beauty Smith sees White Fang and offers to buy him, but Gray Beaver refuses. Beauty Smith gets Gray Beaver drunk so he'll spend all his money, which forces him to sell White Fang. Beauty Smith converts White Fang into a fighting dog, and he wins every match. That is, until he is pitted against a bulldog. White Fang is no match for the dog, and is soon pinned with the dog's jaws on his throat. A passerby named Whedon Scott sees the fight and pays Beauty Smith to buy White Fang and save his life. Whedon is the first person to treat White Fang affectionately. Slowly, the wolf dog becomes tame. One day, Whedon decides to return home to California. He tries to leave alone, but White Fang follows him. Whedon sees how much White Fang loves him and takes him home. There, White Fang has a litter of puppies and peacefully lives out the rest of his days.
The article begins today by saying when White Fang is 5 years old, Gray Beaver takes him to sell his goods. So we're kind of moving forward in the story. White Fang is now 5 years old, which probably means he's fully grown. Wolves grow very, very quickly.
Yeah, dogs, I would imagine by after about a year.
Yeah, dogs, like after about a year, they're usually about as big as they're ever going to get.
Right.
So he's a big wolf dog now. Gray Beaver, the man who's basically his owner, takes him to sell his goods. Your goods can be anything, some sort of merchandise or product that you have for sale. So he's going to take some stuff maybe into the village or into town or to another town, and going to try to make some money or to trade them for something else.
That's right. Of course, native goods might be things that people made with their hands, you know, little leather shoes or baskets. It could be animals that they've hunted, right? The skins of animals were used to make clothing out of. So he's just taking stuff to sell, basically. That's the goods. So White Fang now has grown up and he has become protective of his master. I guess he's also become very useful since Gray Beaver travels with him, but White Fang in turn has become protective of Gray Beaver. If you're protective of something, that means you want to protect it. You want to keep it safe. Parents are protective of their children, right? If the kid's going to get hurt, mom and dad will run over and save them or try to stop them from being hurt. And of course, you know, the police or firefighters are protective of human life. When people get in trouble, when there's great danger, we call those guys and they'll run into a burning building or jump into a river to try to save someone. They are protective. They're trying to protect and stop bad things from happening to you. Or in this case, White Fang is trying to stop bad things happening to Grey Beaver. So because of that, he fights many dogs that try to approach Grey Beaver along the way. I guess they're traveling probably for a few days through the woods, through the wild country. And of course, there are other wolves and dogs out there that might see Grey Beaver and think, he's delicious. But White Fang is there to keep his master, Grey Beaver, nice and safe.
Yeah, or they might want to get at...
Good dog.
Yeah, good boy.
Good boy.
They might want some of the food or something they have.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah,
yeah.
Smell it.
Mm. But he's keeping them away. He's telling them to back off as they make this journey. Well, at a fort, a man named Beauty Smith. That's a great name.
Beauty Smith.
Beauty Smith.
The ugliest man in Canada.
That's an ironic name.
Mm.
He sees White Fang and offers to buy him, but Grey Beaver refuses. So they go to a fort. A fort is a settlement. If we call it a fort, usually it means there's like a military presence.
There are a wall around it.
Yeah, there's a wall. It's protected in some way by either soldiers or a very high wall, weapons of some sort. And these forts were places also where people would come to trade or sell their goods because they know there would be people there, people who would need stuff. So the Grey Beaver has come to this fort. He meets Beauty Smith. And Beauty Smith sees White Fang, and he says, "That's a good-looking animal. I would like to buy it." But Grey Beaver says, "No, he's not interested in selling the dog."
Ah, okay, but Beauty Smith really wants White Fang. So what does he do then? After Grey Beaver says, "No, I won't sell you my dog," well, Beauty Smith thinks, and then he gets Grey Beaver drunk, so he'll spend all his money, which then forces him, that's of course forces Grey Beaver, to sell White Fang. Ooh, that's tricky.
That's a dirty trick, Beauty Smith.
He is not a pretty man. He's a dirty, tricky man. Anyway, he gets Grey Beaver drunk. He gives him a lot of wine or something. Grey Beaver drinks it, starts to act crazy. He spends all of his money in the pub or somewhere like that. Of course, then he's poor. He's got no money left. So now he has to sell White Fang just so he has enough money, you know, to travel back home or to buy a few things. That was a nasty trick that Beauty Smith played.
Well, then Beauty Smith converts White Fang into a fighting dog, and he wins every match.
Whoa.
So convert means to change something into something else. So he changes White Fang. White Fang, he was like a protective dog. He would fight if he had to, but now he's actually going to be a dog that fights other dogs. This was actually considered like a sport back then. People still do it today, although it is illegal and not good at all for the animals. It's a terrible, terrible sport, and that's why it is completely against the law nowadays. Back then, it was considered kind of normal.
Well, they didn't have HBO.
No, they didn't have, you know, boxing or stuff.
NBA.
They didn't have violent things they could watch on TV.
Games.
That's so they thought, okay, I've got a dog, you've got a dog, let's see which one's the toughest.
There you go. All right, and it seems that White Fang is tough. He wins every match, or he wins every fight. That means he's sort of like the New York Yankees, or the...
He's the heavyweight champ.
You know, the Miami Heat of fighting dogs back then. That is, so he wins every match until he is pitted against a bulldog. Okay, if you pit something against something else, that means you're basically putting them in a competition. You're fighting, you're playing a game against each other. Two teams can be pitted against each other in a soccer match, or two people can be pitted against each other in an argument or a debate. That means they're both kind of competing, fighting. They both want to win. They want to beat the other guy. And a bulldog, well, these are famous for being sort of the tough-looking dogs, right? They have the very wide shoulders, that kind of ugly, flat face.
They've got an underbite like this.
Yeah, small body, an underbite like that. And they look kind of dangerous. And actually, like several other kinds of dogs, they were raised, they were kind of made that way to be fighting dogs, to be super tough.
They were made that way to fight, to catch rats, as well. They were made to be dangerous dogs, to kill or to hurt or to protect, even though they look kind of funny.
They
look like big, fat party animals. But
they do.
But that's today. Today they've been bred into being kind of this lazy, funny dog. Back then they were the tough guys.
Dangerous dogs.
So he was pitted against the bulldog. He had to fight this dog. And White Fang was no match for the dog and is soon pinned by the dog's jaws on his throat.
So he was
no match for this bulldog. If you are no match for somebody else, it means they will easily defeat you or beat you. Like if, say if there was a really tiny dude playing against Shaquille O'Neal in basketball or Yao Ming,
right?
He would probably be no match unless he was really, really fast or something like that.
It was a high school basketball team playing against an NBA team.
Yeah, against the Chicago Bulls.
And it would be 250-4.
And they would allow them to score those 4 points. So
I see.
No match.
No match at all.
He was no match for the bulldog, and to be no match for something is our shortcut for you for today. So let's learn a little bit more about that phrase, and then we'll be back.
Shortcut for you.
Camping is fun, but it gets cold at night.
I brought these little hand warmers.
Ha! Those are no match for a real fire.
Matches? They only last about a minute or less.
I said no match for, which means not equal to.
This makes a lot more sense. No match for means 不是什么的对手.
That little heat bag is no match for a warm campfire.
Okay, let's find some wood to burn and get started.
I bet I can find more wood than you can.
Please, Jeffrey, you are no match for me.
All right, that was our shortcut for you for today, all about being no match for something. And White Fang was no match for the bulldog because he pinned him down with his jaws on his throat.
That's right. That's how dogs will kill another dog or another animal. The jaws are, this part of your body, it's the teeth, the top part and the bottom part that closes and opens when you bite and chew things. This has your jaw right here. And so the other dog's got his jaw around White Fang's throat. And you can imagine if there's any damage there, it can kill you very easily. It's a very bad place for a dog to be with another dog's jaws on his throat. But just then, a passerby named Whedon Scott sees the fight and pays Beauty Smith to buy White Fang and save his life. Wow, so he was really lucky. A passerby is just someone who happens to be walking by on the street or, you know, walking by the pub or wherever the fight is happening. He sees the fight. He sees this beautiful, poor wolf lying there on the ground with this bulldog almost ready to kill it, and he wants to stop the fight. He's like, who owns that dog, the losing dog? I want to pay you. I want to save the dog. And, of course, you can't make money selling a dead dog, so that means Beauty Smith has to stop the fight so he can sell White Fang to this Whedon guy who saved White Fang's life.
Yeah, I guess Beauty Smith, he might not be the nicest guy, but he's nobody's fool either.
That's right, he's not a bad businessman.
He knows how to make some money.
True.
So Whedon Smith, Whedon gives him some money and he takes the dog away. And Whedon is the first person to treat White Fang affectionately.
Aww.
If you treat somebody affectionately, it means you treat them with love, treat them with care. So this is the first time White Fang actually has a person, I guess other than Grey Beaver, who is treating him well.
Right.
Taking good care of him.
Doesn't get hit or
kicked. He's not getting smacked. He's not being forced to fight other dogs. And slowly, the wolf dog becomes tame. So what does it mean if an animal or a dog becomes tame?
Well, to become tame means it's not a wild animal anymore. It's now kind of a pet. It's a domestic animal. So to tame a horse, you have to teach the horse that it's going to have a saddle. People will ride it. If you just get a wild horse and try to climb on it, it's going to throw you off and run away from you. But eventually it starts to trust people. It starts to accept that, well, people are around and we'll do these weird things together, but it's okay. So when you take a wild wild animal and then let it kind of teach it how to live with people, live in your home, not, you know, eat your children or destroy your house, then eventually it will become, you know, part of the family or it will become tame. Well, one day Whedon decides to return home to California. All right, so he's been traveling a long way up to northern Canada. He's from the U.S., California, and he tries to leave alone, but White Fang follows him because that's what dogs do. I guess Whedon was thinking, well, having a wolf up here in Canada is okay. It's kind of, you know, a wild country. I can't take the wolf back to San Francisco.
Can't take him to L.A., no.
You know, somewhere like that because, you know, living in a town with other animals and people and dogs around might be bad or dangerous for this this kind of wolf. So he wants to leave the wolf White Fang there in Canada. But, of course, like many dogs, White Fang just follows him, just says, hey, we're a family, we're a team, where are you going, man?
And you're going to California. It's freezing up here in
Canada. That's true, yeah.
You're going to California where the weather's actually nice.
My name's White Fang, but I want to surf.
Yeah, you're not leaving without me, so...
Right.
Whedon sees how much White Fang loves him and takes him home.
Huh.
There, White Fang has a litter of puppies and peacefully lives out the rest of his days.
Aww.
So here we have the happy ending.
That's
White
amazing.
Fang gets to get out of the freezer that is Canada,
right?
Where the weather is nice and the people
Absolutely.
Are friendly. And he actually, he finds a mate, he finds a, you know, a wife or a girlfriend. They have a litter of puppies, a whole bunch of babies together, and he peacefully, or in peace, he gets to live out the rest of his days. So he has a peaceful life for the rest of his days on Earth. So that's been the story of White Fang. He went through a lot in his life,
mm-hmm.
but he was able to fight through it all, and he gets his happy ending in the end.
I have to say, a story about a wild wolf in northern Canada, all the action in there, a happy ending surprises me.
Yeah, at the beginning it seems so harsh.
Yeah,
there's so much
something bad's going to happen.
Everything's dying around him. Everybody's always getting attacked.
A hunter will shoot him
or
something. But no, there's a happy ending. So how do you like that? All right, we're going to be back with our chat question right after this. So please join us for that.
For You Chat.
Okay, so our chat question is about loyalty. Now, loyalty is standing by your friends, sticking with the people you love, the people who are close to you, even when times are tough, even when things are difficult. You don't walk away from a friend in trouble. You stay with them, you fight with them until things have gotten better. So that's what loyalty is, right? We look for loyalty in our family and our friends, people we like, trust, and respect. Now, dogs also show a lot of loyalty.
Yeah, man's right? best friend, right?
Exactly. When Whedon was leaving Canada to go back to California, White Fang was not going to live without him. White Fang was going to go with him because he's loyal to his master. So do you think loyalty is important between dogs and people or people and people? Why or why not?
Well, of course, I think loyalty is important. It's important to stand by your friends and your family, people you care about.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, there'll come a time when they need you, of course, to do that, and then you will also need them eventually to stand up for you. We all come up against, you know, bad situations or tough times in our life, and you're going to need some help in those times. If you're not loyal to people, well, then they might just say, well, you deal with it on your own. You're on your own, buddy. You didn't stand beside me when I was having trouble, so... For that reason, I think loyalty is important. What would you say to that question?
I absolutely agree. You know, one of the basic things in trust or in a good relationship is trust, knowing that you can rely on someone, that they won't lie to you or do things to hurt you. And that's what loyalty is all about, because can you really call someone a friend if you're not sure that they're honest with you, if you're not sure that they'll be there when you need them? I don't think that person would be called a friend. So, yeah, loyalty is very, very important.
And if you really want an example of loyalty, well, get a pet dog, because they always stand beside their masters, the people who own them.
They are super loyal, yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end of our 3 days, talking all about this classic tale, White Fang. I highly recommend you guys go out and read the book if you haven't done so already. I think there's probably movies out there you can watch too. If you don't feel like reading through the book, you can watch the movies too. Books are usually better, but movies are good too. All right, well, that's it for English for You for today. Until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Mike.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
White Fang. When White Fang is 5 years old, Grey Beaver takes him to sell his goods. White Fang has become protective of his master and fights many dogs that try to approach Gray Beaver along the way. At a fort, a man named Beauty Smith sees White Fang and offers to buy him, but Gray Beaver refuses. Beauty Smith gets Gray Beaver drunk so he'll spend all his money, which forces him to sell White Fang. Beauty Smith converts White Fang into a fighting dog, and he wins every match. That is, until he is pitted against a bulldog. White Fang is no match for the dog, and is soon pinned with the dog's jaws on his throat. A passerby named Whedon Scott sees the fight and pays Beauty Smith to buy White Fang and save his life. Whedon is the first person to treat White Fang affectionately. Slowly, the wolf dog becomes tame. One day, Whedon decides to return home to California. He tries to leave alone, but White Fang follows him. Whedon sees how much White Fang loves him and takes him home. There, White Fang has a litter of puppies and peacefully lives out the rest of his days.
Vocabulary Review. Protective. He is protective of his girlfriend and doesn't let people insult her. Fort. The Spanish built a fort in Danshui to defend the coast. Convert. A businessman converted the old factory into a center for the arts. Jaw. The scientist found the jaw of a dinosaur and studied its teeth. Tame. My dog might look mean, but he is tame and has never bitten anyone.